Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, October 24th, 2016. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am stellar, Jeff, and I'm going to once again hijack your intro, this time to wish a happy anniversary to my wife. It's our wedding anniversary today. So,
Happy anniversary. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
And you guys are really an awesome couple.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yes. I agree.
Yeah. And now you have validation. Every time I see the two of you together, the smile that I see is absolutely awesome. I am so happy for you guys.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Adam Christensen from the MacCast is here. Adam, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And while I've never seen you and your wife together, I bet the smile that you guys share is equally awesome.
I would say so.
Yeah. That's really great. Oh, I feel all warm and fuzzy this morning.
Cool.
Perfect for a technical discussion.
I know. Yeah. So I feel all warm and fuzzy, unlike the way the internet felt on Friday. So if you spent any time trying to surf the web on Friday, odds are you had trouble because some websites maybe were really slow to respond. Other websites, they just weren't there at all. And you had to do with frustration because, you know, when we live in a world where we spend all of our time surfing the web and you suddenly can't, it kind of sucks. Turns out there was a really big wow. I am having a horrible time with words because it's Monday. Distributed denial of service attack on one of the major DNS services for the internet. And that's a lot of acronyms right there. So DDoS, distributed denial of service attack. The DNS service that was targeted was Dyn. And what they do is take the requests that people get, like when you type macobserver.com, and turn it into an address that your web browser knows what to do with. And so you type macobserver.com, and the numbers that need to be all lined up behind the scenes happen through services like Dyn and their DNS system. And then you see the web page you want. So hackers attacked that, which meant that we had a problem that appeared as if all of our websites were down. You know, like our meaning every website we're trying to hit on the internet. But in fact, the websites were fine. It was the service that tells our browser where those websites are that was down, or at least temporarily down. And the attack was done using Internet of Things devices. So that means that hackers figured out how to use things like webcams to attack a big server system and screw up the internet for us. How does that sound for a light overview of what happened?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep, that's it in a nutshell. Yeah, and these Internet of Things devices, it seems, were all made by this, or all had their core operating system provided by the same manufacturer. It was an embedded Linux version, which is not uncommon. Most Internet of Things devices will have embedded Linux because it's a freely available OS. It's kept relatively secure, and we'll get to that, but and it can be used in a variety of ways. It's extremely flexible. So this one, I think it was a Chinese company, provided this embedded Linux to many, many different webcams and other things. And they left a gaping hole open in the particular build of Linux that they did, in that they all had the same root password that didn't change when the user changed the user access password. So didn't matter what you did to secure your device, it still had this wide open hole that probably the manufacturer who sold it to you didn't even know about.
Yeah, that's very likely. So this hole, meaning the root password for the device, that was actually burned into the chip itself. So it's not like they can go back and say, oh, you know what, we're going to do a different password. It's just, right.
There is a way for the user to change that password, but it's not obvious at all.
That may or may not matter. I haven't dug into this probably far enough yet. I'm still trying to understand this specific attack. But there is a security guy that I know here in San Diego. He's at VIS, Dan Tentler. I think that's how you pronounce his last name here in San Diego. And I followed him for years. And he was going crazy with this week because back in 2013, he exposed an exploit in TrendNet cameras and warned about this kind of attack. And the problem that was discovered with the TrendNet cameras was that somebody figured out that even if you had gone in and set a password on the firmware, there was a direct backdoor into those cameras where you could get the raw video feed and you can get in directly. And he was warning that a lot of these devices have this kind of thing in them. And
yeah,
so
that's awesome.
Yeah, it may even be that yes, and particularly I guess DVRs and video cameras tend to be more easily exploitable or more vulnerable. For some reason?
Well, probably because they're built to be accessed from not just your local network, but also over the internet.
Right.
I think that's probably a big part of it. Yeah. Yeah. But, as a user, this was not your fault. In fact, it's entirely possible any one or more of the three of us have a device that materially participated in this attack on Friday. And we're all relatively aware of this stuff and probably have changed our default passwords on these devices because we don't want people hacking in and getting at our webcams and other things like that. But it wouldn't have mattered. And that's sort of the interesting thing here is, I saw some comments where people said, oh yeah, HomeKit will solve this. And
I was going to ask about that.
And yeah, and I'm not convinced of that at all. HomeKit does have very, very strict security requirements, so much so that a lot of devices just can't support it because their processors aren't fast enough to keep up with the encryption and decryption that's required just to negotiate a connection. But that wouldn't have changed this at all, to my knowledge.
That's my understanding, too.
Yeah. If someone built a HomeKit compatible device with one of these boards that are embedded Linux chipsets, whatever you want to call it, if they had built a HomeKit device with it, the HomeKit part would be encrypted. But I don't, unless there's something in the HomeKit certification process that says, and while you're at it, you must also go and close all of these potential holes in whatever stuff you might have gotten from whatever vendor, then it would not have mattered in the least.
Yeah, these holes are at a much lower layer or level from what I understand.
Yeah, that's right.
So far. HomeKit's designed to kind of protect the negotiation of these things and the communication between HomeKit devices on your network. But what we're talking about here is an exploit that's coming, through holes in the device itself, the firmware, like you were mentioning, going out directly to the internet. The thing that allows it to actually sit on the internet and connect to the larger internet. And HomeKit isn't really, as far as I understand, it isn't really doing anything at that layer. At that point, it's internet traffic. It's from the internet at large to the device itself. Whereas I'm pretty sure most of the HomeKit stuff is for more the communication of the internal network, the negotiating, adding the device and those sorts of things.
Well, and keep in mind that a lot of HomeKit devices support other platforms.
Correct. Yeah.
So, right.
Like my Philips Hue lights, my Ecobee thermostat, I can access them outside of HomeKit, even though I have them tied directly into my HomeKit network.
Right. Well, and it wouldn't, that's true, which means that any insecurities that might exist in non-HomeKit Internet of Things protocols would be exploitable on those devices. But also, again, this attack that we saw had nothing to do with that high level sort of, you know, HomeKit and Amazon Echo or, you know, whatever protocol you want to use. This is just right at the core of the device, and it could have been anything. It just so happened that a lot of webcams happen to have this chipset, but it could have been your printer, and your printer is never going to be part of HomeKit.
That's true. And yep. Considering that a lot of us have printers that are several years old and have never received any sort of firmware or security update since we purchased them, and yeah, they're on our networks, well,
that's even worse.
Yeah. Who knows what our printers are doing when anytime, actually.
Yeah, it's true. And that's sort of the thing. And I wish we had an answer here, but really this is more about, well, we all kind of need to accept the grim reality of that all of these devices that we have are potentially exploitable, no matter what Apple tells us about how great HomeKit is. HomeKit secures the data between your devices, right? So in theory, if HomeKit's the only protocol that your device supports, then, you know, someone else couldn't see your webcam traffic going, although are there HomeKit webcams? I guess there might be, but they can't see the traffic. They can't see that you're telling your thermostat to go up or down and right, don't, you know, can't get your thermostat schedule and can't pull data from your thermostat because they don't speak the HomeKit protocol that requires all this crazy encryption and key sharing and all of that stuff. But that doesn't stop them from just hacking into the low-level OS. And by the way, once someone's in the low-level OS, they could probably go and look at all your settings anyway.
That's reassuring.
It is. I know. It's like, wow, that's great. And, you know, but what you can do as a consumer is, A, be aware of what we've just told you, right? That there is no magic, if I do this, all is good, right? Just be aware, and that means keeping things up to date. Like, go and check, and as I say this, I know I need to go do it. Go and check to see if your webcam has a new firmware update. Go and check to see if your printer has a firmware update. It probably doesn't. Your webcam has far more likely to have one than your printer. Mm-hmm. If you have a NAS device, like a Synology or a Network Drobo or a QNAP device or something like that, make sure you keep that thing up to date. Those are targeted more than anything else right now because they're usually fairly high-powered Linux devices that people want available from the internet, and there's enough of them out there that when there is one of these exploits, people will try and go after it. And it happens to store a lot of your data. And so people can hijack it. In fact, I had to help somebody a couple of weeks ago. Their Synology was taken over and ransomware. Somebody encrypted all of the data on their Synology, and they had to pay in bitcoins to get the key.
That really sucks.
It sucks. Yep. And it can happen to your Mac too. It can happen to your PC, right? You know, so keep these things up to date. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. Well,
and change the root password or change the default passwords on the devices.
Yeah.
It still wouldn't have protected you though.
Potentially. Yeah. The only thing, I think there's a reason in particular with this attack that the video cameras are being targeted though. And again, a lot of the research that I've been doing, it's interesting. Brian Krebs, you know, yeah. Krebs on security.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His site was attacked by, is it Mirai?
Yeah, I think it's Mirai.
Mirai bought a botnet with cameras in September. So same kind of DDoS attack here, specifically targeted at Krebs on security's website. And it seems to be somewhat related to what's called the MIPS system that's used, I mean, the operating system that's used in IoT devices, and specifically ones with a 32-bit CPU architecture. So I think you were talking about this earlier, Dave. You know, what about the problem of, you know, you've got the printer. It's not just, you know, your printer's 5 years old. They're either not publishing firmware updates, but a lot of the problem with things on the internet, too, I think, is becoming that the hardware itself literally can't be updated. Like, right. Even if there was a firmware, you know, there is low-level stuff at the hardware levels that are being exploited. And we've seen this with the other kinds of attacks, right? If you have old stuff, it does get to a point where it's just simply can't be updated.
That's it.
Right? And yep. So, and it's particularly with DVRs and CCTV cameras, people keep them around for forever.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's right. Yeah. It's not something that you upgrade even every 3 years. You know, you might have a 10-year-old webcam in your house that does exactly what you need it to do.
Well, it's not even you. It's security. I mean, think of all the places that have security cameras.
Right.
You know, all of the businesses and companies and warehouses and you know, convenience stores. And so it's not surprising that this stuff is happening.
Yep.
You know. And I don't even know, you know, and manufacturers abandon this stuff, but people still use it because it still works.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's a little bit frightening if you start thinking about it too much, but.
Okay. So then for HomeKit users, what's the value? I mean, it's if HomeKit doesn't offer any more security, really. No, let me rephrase that. If a device that offers HomeKit support isn't going to give you any more security than a device that does not, why would someone want to use HomeKit?
Well, there's different layers of security, right? I mean, HomeKit is securing the data passed between all your devices, okay? So it's similar. It's a similar comparison would be, why not... Why use WPA2 encryption on your Wi-Fi network as opposed to no encryption, right?
Right.
Well, there's a good reason to use WPA2. So, and HomeKit is similar to that. It is this massively secure protocol for communicating data between your devices and making sure everything is what it should be. And then if you have enough HomeKit devices, there's the convenience of how well HomeKit works, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you have the right devices to use it with, and that in and of itself can be perhaps awesome or frustrating depending on what devices you own. So that's the reason to use HomeKit, but using it and simply believing awesome, all my security concerns are taken care of is absolutely misguided. And you just can't, there's nothing magic about any of this stuff, especially when it comes to security. And I'll tell you, it will continue to get worse because right now our routers generally keep most of our devices from being accessible from the internet, unless those devices request that internet services be brought to them. Right. And evidently these webcams were doing that and that opened up this hole. But for the most part, your router kind of keeps you from doing that. IPv6 with the wrong router makes everything accessible to the internet.
Oh, that would be really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, if you're really concerned about this, your only solution is not to put anything on the internet. I mean, literally. That's the only way you're going to stay 100% protected. Now, I personally don't think that's, you know,
that's
reasonable
practical.
And or practical with the way the world is going. I mean, but it does. I mean, what we're talking about here, and it's good. I mean, the good thing that with Apple is doing with HomeKit is staying on the forefront and talking about this and making security of Internet of Things a topic that people should be talking about. And that's really what needs to be happening, because it comes down to manufacturers and consumers understanding this stuff and understanding, like Dave, you were saying, you know, make sure you're updating your firmware, or better yet, why aren't manufacturers building in systems? You know, again, maybe there's this whole security side of this too, but they should be able to push out, you know, firmware updates to these devices. You know, why aren't they doing that? Or why aren't these systems more proactive about, you know, protecting our security? And you know, that's the conversation that Apple is trying to open up around HomeKit, and I think that's a good one to have. They can't solve, you know, as we pointed out here, they can't solve all of the problems because these things do have to connect to the internet, and they're not making the devices. So I guess, you know, the only, if Apple wants to take it to the next level, I guess they'd have to come and start making all their own hardware. And so far, it seems like they're not wanting to do that, right? So these holes are there from the hardware manufacturers. And so more hardware manufacturers need to be paying attention to this and doing the things that they need to be doing to protect these things. If they're going to let people hook stuff up to the internet, they have to be more serious about the security of these things.
Well, I'm hoping that incidents like this are eye-openers and are also a catalyst to get device makers to start offering better security.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, we've been talking, the same conversation has been going on, at least in the security community, very loudly, you know, for 10 years. And what it comes down to is cost and money. A lot of manufacturers don't want to, you know, and consumers are kind of, it's part of our problem too, because, hey, I want a $30 security camera, right?
Sure. Right. And even if device makers decided to change everything today and man, all of our devices are going to be secure now, it doesn't make a difference for all the devices that are already out there. And clearly there's enough out around the world already to cause serious problems for a major DNS provider.
Yeah, you're talking about billions of webcams, you know, and many of them very, very old, running very, very old software. And I mean, that's what happened here. I mean, that's essentially what happened here.
Yeah. And hey, we're out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. Dave, you and John Braun went more into the technical details of what happened on MacGeekGab yesterday.
Yeah, MacGeekGab 628. So
I'll make sure there's a link in the show notes. So MacGeekGab 628.
Yep, we chapterized that show, and it was the final chapter. I think it started right at the 1 hour mark, actually, and we did about 20 minutes on it. So
awesome, great. So yeah, I'll make sure there's a link to that in the show notes. Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Adam, thank you for being here as well.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's always great to have both of you here. Listeners, I'm so glad that you joined us again today, and we'll see everyone tomorrow.